Thanks for listening to another message from Life Christian Church. We hope it challenges and encourages you and helps you to grow in your faith. Don't forget, download our app to stay up to date with what's going on at Life, share your prayer requests or pray for others, read the Bible online and much, much more. Simply search for Life Christian Church in your app store.
So the concept is this: hide and seek. Hide and seek. Who knows the game hide and seek? Who remembers playing hide and seek as a kid? Yep. Who still plays it? Come on, be honest. Fess up. I'm not beyond a good game of hide and seek, just quietly. I'll give you the lowdown. Just until recent, my in-laws had a beautiful, beautiful property called Hanlon House in Stanley. And a beautiful house and four bedrooms for the family. It was B&B accommodation. So the family lived in the house. It was also a business. Four bedrooms for the family in the house. And then on top of that, six ensuite guest rooms. The back level of the house was three stories high. And it's a colonial type house with heaps of attics, dormers, and anything that wasn't a room was a storeroom behind some secret cupboard. Because that's the way my father-in-law rolls. And I've got to tell you, it was every kid's dream location to play hide and seek. My boys, praise God, they're not in the room right now. I'd hate to embarrass them. But my boys had the most incredible childhood running around Hanlon House playing hide and seek. And I have lots of memories of kids running through doorways and, you know, it's like quick go and hide and kids run in all sorts of directions, but inevitably they just kind of go through a doorway and headbutt each other. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's like, oh man. They had an incredible childhood and they continue to do so, but playing hide and seek. And I don't know how hide and seek works in your family, but in my family it always, always starts with a fight. Always. I have two boys, 9 and 14. Always starts with a fight. You're thinking, your kids have got issues. Yeah, they have. I'm their dad. So it goes like this. The question would be asked, or not so much a question, but statements made like, I'm hiding first. Well, that's just like World War III right there. My boys start to argue. My eldest boy, Rushton, he's the gracious one. And he's like, yeah, Dexter, whatever, you go and hide and I'll count. Kids have different understandings of how hide and seek works. You know, like when you're really little, kids kind of just put their hands over their face and they think they're hiding. How cute's that? My boys are beyond that a little bit. And for lots of kids, they play hide and seek in... It kind of comes a point where you know you're the last person to be found and you'll play it for a moment or two and then you just come out. Like you just go, yep, you can't find me. No, 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 I'm not telling you where I was hidden, but hey, here I am. Who knows that's kind of how it rolls? My 9-year-old boy doesn't get that rule. He has some serious, serious stealth skills and you play hide and seek with him, it could literally go for 4 days. Because once he's hidden, there is no way he's coming out of... Like, even Dad can put on the stern dad voice? Dexter, you need to come out now. He don't respond. Nothing. Zip quiet, not a thing. Once he's hidden, he's there for the long haul. I love it. I think it's awesome. Mum, not so much, but... I love this concept of hide and seek, and I reckon this is a game that's been played for a lot longer than just my generation. And, Have you ever been a parent, and you know maybe it's your first child, maybe you're a grandparent, and you get the grandchild that you know they're young, they're cute, and you think you can play this game where they laugh with you, but actually I'm sure they're laughing at you, and you sit them on your knee, and you do this stupid thing that you would never ever ever do until that little child came along, but now you're doing this crazy looking thing in public, and you're going, you know, this is okay. You sit them on your knee and this time it's you covering your face and you kind of go like this. Peek-a-boo. Has anyone ever done that? There's like, who knows there's stages of peek-a-boo? It's like level one, it's kind of like Tetris, yeah? It's like one, it's like peek-a-boo, peek-a-boo, a-boo, a-boo. Who's ever played that game? You're looking at me like I'm weird. You all done it, haven't you? I know you've done it. This whole concept of hide and seek, I reckon, dates back as far as the cross. I'm going to preach to you today what essentially we would call an Easter message, but this doesn't ever go out of date. It's not a one-off message. It's a message that could be heard every day of the week because it's valid, it's true. Hide and seek. See, I reckon we have a dilemma in our world, and I think you'll agree with me when I tell you this. If you're a follower of Jesus, I'm sure you will agree with this, but here's the dilemma. The world wants to hide Jesus, but the Father actually wants us to seek Jesus. Are you with me this afternoon? It's important that you get this. The world wants to hide. Now, what do I mean by the world? I mean people that are opposed to God actually want to do everything they possibly can to hide Jesus from us. They don't want us to know anything about him. They don't want us to understand him. And they sure as anything don't want us to have some sort of relationship with him. The world wants to hide Jesus. But can I tell you this afternoon that our Father in heaven wants us to seek Jesus? Are you with me?
Yeah.
It's a concept that really does hide and seek. It goes right back to the cross. This afternoon I want to give you 3 points to set a foundation for where we're going to head in the next few weeks. I want to give you 3 points, and these are the 3 attempts that the Romans undertook to try and hide Jesus, to try and hide him. We think about Easter and Jesus in the tomb. I want to give you 3 attempts that the Romans took to try and hide Jesus. Number one is this, the stone. The first attempt that the Romans took to try and hide Jesus was to put a dirty big stone in front of his grave. The Bible says that a large stone was rolled in front of the tomb of Jesus. We all know the story. We've all seen the pictures and, you know, it's a big rock. I don't know how you go with rocks, but it's a rock that I wouldn't be able to shift. A massive rock to try and hide Jesus. If you have your Bible, why don't you turn to Matthew 27? It'll be up on the screen if you don't have them. But Matthew 27, verse 59 and 60 reads this. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, speaking of Jesus. Jesus is hung on the cross. He's dead. Okay? And Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. Verse 60, get this, reads, and he placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. Let's just stop there. This poor guy's digging his own grave. I don't know how you feel about that, but don't ask me to dig my own grave. There's one thing I'm not doing in this lifetime, it's digging my own grave. Joseph dug his own grave. Goes on to read this. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. So here's Joseph digging his own grave, as you do in the day, carving it out of a rock. And the time comes along where he goes, okay, it's no longer for me, it's for Jesus. Here's a question for you. Have you ever had some things in your life that have been big rocks that have come between you and Jesus? Have you ever had some things in your life where you just go, this is just crazy big. I don't know what's going on here, but this is massively in the way between me and Jesus. Have you had some situations that have tried to contain you? Who's ever felt contained? Like life has kind of trapped me in, shrinking me down. Maybe you've had some big mountains that you've had to cross, some struggles, some failures. Oh my goodness, do I know what it is to feel like I have some failures? Well, friends, let me give you the answer this afternoon to this question, because there's some great news. Nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God. You know that big stone that they put in front of the tomb? God made a way for that to be shifted. And you know that every hardship in your life, everything that seems too hard that tries to contain you, trap you, and shut you down, you know nothing is impossible for God, right? No stone too big, no situation too difficult. Are you with me this afternoon? Matthew 19 and 26 says this, Jesus looked at them and said this, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. See, nothing, no thing can contain God. Nothing. There is nothing in your life right now that has the power, if you give it to God, has the power to contain you, you know, and trap you away from God. Are you with me? No stone was ever, ever, ever going to contain or hide Jesus. Aren't you glad about that today? I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that God had a bigger plan for Jesus than staying dead in the tomb. God's so good. Let me give you my second point this afternoon. I'll move through this fairly quickly. Number two is this. Number one, first attempt to hide Jesus was the stone. The second attempt is the Roman seal. The Bible says the Roman seal was also placed over the tomb. The Romans wanted to stand between God, wanted to stand between the people and Jesus. Matthew 27, verse 66 reads this. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. Let me give you a little history lesson here. Help you understand a little bit more in context what this means. I did a little research, and this was the general theme that I was able to find, that the seal that the Bible talks about here was a sign of authentication that the tomb was occupied and the power and authority of Rome stood behind the seal. Anyone found breaking the Roman seal would suffer the punishment of an unpleasant death. And I tell you today that the Romans weren't people you wanted to mess with. The Romans were people who really knew what it was to mess your life up. You get a Roman cross, your life's going to be miserable. Are you with me? The Romans wanted to control the situation. They wanted to hide Jesus for once and for all. They wanted to lock Jesus down, deny people access, and they wanted to intimidate people away from Jesus. Ask yourself this, have you ever been intimidated into thinking untruths before? Have you ever been intimidated into thinking untruths before? Let me help you out a little bit. Perhaps you've had thoughts like this. I'm not acceptable. I don't have access to God. I'm just too bad for Jesus. Like I'm messed up. God doesn't want to talk to me. God doesn't want to know me. I've got like history. I've said all the bad things. I've done all the wrong things. Can I tell you that there's great news today, that because of Jesus, you can confidently bypass any and all intimidation and have direct access to the Father. Can I tell you that's great news? That's actually great news. If you don't get a little bit excited today, and I get that we might be a bit dreary or tired, but if there's not something in us that goes, thank you, Lord, that I have access to God, can I say, turn to the person, no, don't slap them, but do you get what I'm saying? We should be excited that we have access to God. Hebrews 4:15 to verse 16 says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Verse 16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with what?
Confidence.
With confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. God is a good God. He wants to hear from you. He wants to know what's going on in you. He knows anyway what's going on in your world, but he wants to be invited into your world. God is interested in your life, and you have access to the Father. Are you with me?
Amen.
See, the seal was meant to intimidate you. I love this. The seal was meant to intimidate you, to hide Jesus from you. I love this about God. He had other, he had ideas way beyond Jesus being concealed from him. I love it. Let me give you my third point. The first one was the stone. That was attempt number one to keep Jesus from you. The second one was the Roman seal. Let me give you the third one. The third one is this. The Romans put a guard in place. The Bible says that a guard watched Jesus' tomb. Now, there's a little bit of unknown around this when the Bible talks about a guard, exactly what that looked like. Again, I've done some research. There's a couple of options. Let me give you one of what it, one of those options of what it may have looked like. It was either the Roman guard of the day or it was the Jewish temple police. Matthew 27, 65 to 66 says, "Take a guard," Pilate answered, "go make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. See, there's a question as to which one of the two groups it was. Was it the Roman guard? Was it the Jewish temple police? Let me give you some thoughts today on what it could have looked like if it was in fact the Roman guard. See, the context seems to favour, as you read through the scripture, seems to favour that it was perhaps a Roman guard. And a Roman guard was a 16-man unit that was governed by very strict rules. Each member was responsible for 6 square feet of space. Stop and think about that. You have a team of 16 around you, and each person is accountable for 6 square feet of space, not a whole lot of room. I'm not a big unit, you can see that. But I'd like to think if I had to man 6 foot of space, I'd give it a good fight. The guard members could not sit down or lean against anything while they were on duty. While these guards were on duty, they had a job to do, and if they were caught doing anything but the job at hand, there was trouble. Listen to this. If a guard member fell asleep, I'd be no good at that job. If a guard member fell asleep, he was beaten and burned with his own clothes, but he was not the only one executed. The entire 16-man guard unit was indeed executed. You want to be trusting your 15 colleagues right there, don't you? One guy sleeps, game, set, match for the lot of you. You see, either way, whether it was the Roman guard or whether it was some other means, the religious leaders felt secure in a knowledge that they put a stone in front of Jesus, they put a Roman seal on his gravesite, and they put a guard in place so you, so me, so no one in the course of history would ever have access to Jesus again. It's incredible. We can revisit the concept of Easter just for a moment. The Romans went to incredible lengths. And can I suggest at this point, they are highly confident that Jesus was done and dealt with. Game over. I don't want to be disrespectful this afternoon, but at this point, Jesus had been dead for several days. It's interesting that we can read elsewhere in the Word of God that it actually states that the Romans were so worried because Jesus had spoke about this whole third day concept, and on the third day I'll rise again. They went to these kind of lengths. A massive stone, essentially a law to say, you mess with that site and we'll be messing with you. And then a bunch of guards to deny you access to Jesus. They felt incredibly secure that they had this all done and dusted. I love this. Charles Stanley writes, great quote, "There is only one secure foundation, a genuine deep relationship with Jesus, which will carry you through any and all turmoil. No matter what storms are raging all around you, you'll stand firm if you stand on his love." I love that. Love that. You see, the guard was put in place to secure the situation, to hide Jesus, to make sure that you never again had access to Jesus. Precautions were made, the religious rulers felt secure, and the excitement around Jesus would soon go away. They thought it was job done. Jesus had laid dead in the tomb. His disciples had scattered. They were all scared. They'd gone their own way, freaked out, took off, run away, going, "I don't know what's going on right now, but my Jesus, I know one thing's dead in the tomb." Petrified. What had happened? Jesus was dead. They'd run away thinking, game over. They're starting to think like the Romans. Job done. Jesus, game over. But this is what I love about the story of Jesus. This is what I love about the Easter message. This is what I love about living a Christian life. That though Jesus was dead in a tomb, God had another plan. God had another plan. You see, the Romans thought they had won. They thought it was game over. But unbeknown to the Romans and their very best efforts, a stone, a seal, and a guard, their very best efforts to hide Jesus, unbeknown to them, Sunday was still coming. Sunday hadn't happened yet. Sunday was still coming. Check this video out.
It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter is asleep. Judas is betrayed. But Sunday is coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilified. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denied. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scars. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. See Jesus walking the Calvary. His blood dripping. His body stumbling. And his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning. And evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nailed my Savior's hands to the cross. They nailed my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raised him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's right. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know. It's only right. Sunday's coming. It's right. hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father, left alone and dying. Can nobody see you? Oh, it's Friday, but Sunday's come. It's Friday, the earth trembles, the sky grows dark, my King yields his spirit. It's Friday, hope is lost, death has won, sin has come, and Satan's just a laugh. It's Friday. Jesus is dead. A soldier stands guard, and a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It is only Friday. Sunday is a come.
I love that video. I love that concept. It's not a concept, but it's truth. I love it. You see, it's only Friday, but Sunday's coming. Can I tell you today, this is going to sound awfully cliche, but it's Sunday. Sunday. And the tomb is empty. Because my Jesus is alive.
Amen.
You see, Jesus, fully God, fully man, has overcome the grave. No tomb could contain him. Sin, it couldn't hold him. And death certainly could not defeat him. Let me tell you today, church, I love chocolate. My goodness, I love chocolate. If you ever want to buy me chocolate, don't be afraid to spend a little more money and buy Lindt. Oh, that must be God's gift, I tell you. Can I tell you today that Easter is so much, about so much more than just kids getting chocolate? Oh, I love Easter. I love the holidays. I love chocolate. But my goodness, do I love my Jesus.
Amen.
My goodness, do I love my Father in heaven, who sent his Son to die on a cross, but not to stay on a cross or in a tomb, but to rise again. I'm going to wrap this up pretty quickly. John 3:16, you'll know these verses. I'm going to give you verse 17 as well, which unfortunately we sometimes skip over, but they read this: for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Can I tell you today that Jesus never, ever, 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 ever came? God never, ever, 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 ever sent Jesus to condemn you. He sent Jesus to save you. Are you with me today? See, friends, Sunday is here. I love this. Friday was a one-off occasion. Friday's been and gone. But Sunday is our everyday position. Jesus has risen, he's conquered sin, he's defeated death, and he desires a relationship with you. Can I tell you today that Easter is all about Jesus, perhaps the greatest game ever of hide and seek. All about a sacrificial death and a triumphant resurrection, making available to each and every single one of us an opportunity to be in relationship with God the Father. Aren't you glad about that this afternoon? Let me finish up. See, it'd be unfair for me not to tell you today. And it's right that you hear this and understand it. That just like any game of hide and seek, just like when my kids play hide and seek, just like when we play hide and seek with our grandchildren, the game can't exist without someone keeping time. Think, what are you talking about? But let me tell you today that just like any game of hide and seek, time is ticking. You get that right?
Yeah.
Time is ticking. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Aren't you glad I didn't go to 100? Time's ticking. And here's the kicker. I can't tell you this story without giving you the whole truth. Time's ticking. And at some point, unknown to man, the author, the holder of time, God the Father, at a time unknown to all of us, is going to say these words, "Here I come. Ready or not. Here I come. Ready or not." You see, friends, God's message for you today is simply this. Get yourself ready. Get yourself ready. I don't want to assume and I don't want to make you uncomfortable today, but can I tell you today that if you're not right with Jesus, perhaps today's a good day to do so. Get yourself ready. Don't delay. Matthew 24, verse 44 says, "So you also must be ready." These are Jesus' words. That's why they're written in red. "So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." Here I come, ready or not. John 10:10 through to verse 11 says this, "The thief comes only to steal, to kill and destroy. But I have come," Jesus, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." I said it at the start, I want to say it again, is we have a dilemma. We have a massive dilemma. Because the world wants to hide Jesus. The enemy wants to hide Jesus away from us. But our Father in heaven desires that we would actually seek Jesus. And to this day, I think the greatest game of hide and seek in history is the own personal game of hide and seek that we play with Jesus. See, God doesn't want you to hide from Jesus. He wants you to seek Jesus. Matthew 6:33, "Seek first, not second. Not worry about work, careers, finances. No, seek first the kingdom of God." I'm not making light of your own personal situation today. God knows, he gets family, careers. It's all important. But it's got nothing, nothing. It doesn't even come close to the importance of a relationship with Jesus.